fighting for America.
Mr. President, if you don't want to give terrorists a recruitment tool, instead of closing Guantanamo Bay, frankly, sir, you ought to close your mouth. They called us crusaders, and you've just confirmed it.
Fighting for Idaho.
The situation with the underpass that you're talking about, it's a microcosm of a larger issue, and because it's such a high profile, I think people focus on it a little more than the overall situation warrants.
Fighting for you.
Remember those creepy King ads they did?
The King!
The King.
They were so creepy,
they
though.
Were so creepy.
I thought they were good after a while, though. Here comes really, the King. He's going to get you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Welcome to Wednesday. K. Millie in the Morning. If you're working second or third shift, I guess third shift, time for you to go to sleep. Stay with us. We promise to let you go gently into the night, if you will. A couple big stories in media that we'll be covering today. Obviously, Brian Williams, as you just heard, 6 months without pay from NBC News. John Stewart leaving. So you have one guy who fakes the news, Brian Williams, and one guy who embellishes the news or does fake news, John Stewart leaving. With us now to figure everything out, our friend Tim Graham from the Media Research Center. Tim, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we take a look at this. Any surprise that Brian Williams got a suspension without pay as opposed to being fired?
Well, it may turn out to there not to being much difference to that. You know, this, what I suspect might happen is that, you know, this internal review, I think they found enough that they figured we can't just let this go. And then they're, you know, the more they look into it, they're going to realize this is probably not a good idea. They want to see if it'll blow over. They wanted to, but they wanted to nip their credibility in the bud by putting him aside now. So, I mean, I think this is just their way of kicking the can and let's see what continues to come out.
You know, people are crediting social media for this, but in reality, social media has been doing what the Media Research Center and other groups under your umbrella have been doing for years as far as holding the media accountable for stretching or embellishing the truth.
Well, and what happens a lot in these things is, yes, it's social media and it's new media that challenges old media to do its job. And so a lot of the things we were doing, some of it, we are able at the Media Research Center to dig up old videos. So we have been able to do some original work saying, look at this crazy thing he said in 03. This is this crazy thing and it said in 06. You know, we have been able to do some original digging into our archives, but a lot of what we're doing is just reporting other reporting on Williams and trying to make everybody realize that this, yeah, this is a serious thing. I mean, the early spin was, oh, conservative glee, and I would tweet at reporters and say, one, there's no glee, but why is this a conservative thing? You know, why doesn't anybody care that this guy tells wacky, wild tales of his life when he's the anchor man for the most popular newscast in America? I don't see how, you know, I kind of shame journalists like, you know, this, you ought to care about this. This shouldn't be a right-wing thing.
It was a challenge, though, I think, for the media to cover one of their own, wasn't it?
Well, it probably always is. And part of it is, there has to be a certain amount of critical mass because they're all going to say, ooh, this is the most popular newsman in America. We don't want to push too hard. And that was the initial response. It got a really sort of tepid start. And then, you know, the more people looked into it, they said, you know, somebody made the decision, no, this is real. It should be, there should be some investigation. So, you know, the first day of the story, after the story broke, the Washington Post had it on the front page, but the New York Times had like B10, you know, buried in B10. By Friday, it was on the front page of USA Today and New York Times, and then suddenly ABC and CBS decided it was real news because the New York Times decided it was. So, I mean, that was a major part of making all this happen. Is, you know, the new media can't make it happen on its own. The new media has to shame the old media into covering it.
And we've seen that. So what do you expect the fallout will be? You said they're going to try and see if Williams can come back, but how can he, especially now when you have so many people, as you've talked about, Tim, who are looking into some of his past reporting?
Well, I would bet on him not coming back. at least not at NBC at that particular place. I mean, he might find another spot. You know, Dan Rather found another spot. It was a very obscure spot. You know, he might find another spot from which to report. But, you know, I think in this case, they're going to, yeah, they're going to find more. The other thing they're going to be looking at is, if we let Lester Holt anchor this thing and the ratings are okay, we know we can stay with him. You know, that's the other hedge they're having here. You know, I don't know how you think in 6 months Brian Williams is going to be number one again after this kind of incident. And, you know, I mean, I just think the things we were finding, it was just, I'm actually a little upset that we didn't make more of an issue out of this sooner. I mean, him saying on the Letterman show that his helicopter was hit by an RPG should have been a red flag for us back in 2013. I don't know. I must have slept through that one. But, you know, I think that, again, somebody who's labeled as trustworthy gets away with more until you really start pulling the thread.
And certainly we're seeing that with Brian Williams. Does this send a cautionary tale out to any of the other folks? And, you know, you read the published reports, and we look at the other reporting, and people have said that, you know, this was going on inside NBC for quite some time. They knew they had a problem with him because he kept pumping up his resume.
Yeah, I mean, I think the great thing about this, I think, for a more accountable media is it'll say to these network stars, when you get to a certain level, you don't get to have this division and say, well, as long as you don't lie about your own personal history, you know, on the newscast, it's okay. Go ahead and lie in, you know, speeches and Letterman appearances. Go ahead and lie when you speak at a commencement. Go ahead and lie in particular, the one I was working on this morning, in a book that Douglas Brinkley wrote about Katrina. I mean, this is supposedly a historian's book, and Williams is telling these wild stories about my Ritz-Carlton was overrun by gangs, which the manager of the Ritz-Carlton was like, no, didn't happen. So, I mean, that's, you know, I thought the New Orleans tapes were the ones that really made him look bad. I mean, and because I was just laughing trying to read this stuff, and he said this on NBC's air, like, you know, well, I was carrying around a case of Vienna sausage in case I was the victim of a smash-and-grab carjacking. And you're like, what kind of goofy statement is that?
Well, he's kind of, look, he's kind of a weird guy to begin with. There was I don't know if you remember this, back in Birmingham, they did the 40th anniversary or whatever of the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing. Mm-hmm. And I was working Birmingham at the time, and I was on at night. Williams is going, the city is under siege. Security is at an all-time high. No, it wasn't. But it didn't play into his narrative. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, there was no need to even be vigilant. People have moved past. Are there racial problems? Yes. But, you know, that's what the narrative he wanted to portray. And getting back to Katrina, you know, I remember Brian Williams supposedly that he was stuck in the Superdome, and now we find out he was at the Ritz-Carlton. You remember those reports? We're stuck in the Superdome. We can't go anywhere.
Well, this is, I mean, look, I think if the, and we've got interns now watching the Katrina footage we have, because he was just prone to wild overstatement. NBC News as an entity latched on to Mayor Ray Nagin's estimate that there were 10,000 dead. They reported that figure. Now, obviously, what we've seen from history is it's 1,830-something. So, you know, they were only off by 80%. But, I mean, that's the kind of thing that there was so much of this in Katrina, where even a month after the New Orleans paper, there was so much myth-making going on.
And we see it now playing out. Tim Graham with us from the Media Research Center. Kevin Miller in the morning. You're listening to 580KIDO. So what do you make of John Stewart leaving?
Well, that's a bit of a surprise because, I mean, he's 52. He's not exactly 65.
Right.
I would have thought, for example, that with a Republican presidential primary cycle coming, he would have been rubbing his hands together. I'm a little surprised. I don't know whether his, you know, his stint directing a movie nobody watched was that exciting, but
well, when we take a look at what Stewart has done, you have the progressives and the liberals, the millennials saying this is our go-to source of information. Your take on his 17 years at The Daily Show.
Well, I think that there is a... he's always been overpraised. He's always been the liberal darling. He's never been what you'd call a news interviewer because, you know, you look at him interviewing somebody like John Kerry or Barack Obama or even Brian Williams. I mean, he was a very obsequious interviewer. So I think a lot of his satire was not only, you know, I mean, factually inaccurate. And, of course, the game you can always play is, hey, it's satire. It doesn't have to be accurate. And I think the most important thing, again, from a journalist's perspective, it was them doing these sorts of fake news interview segments where they would interview people for like 3 hours, like conservatives or especially Christian conservatives, and then interview these guys for 3 hours, pull 15 seconds of it out, you know, and say that was the real thing. And the people would come out and say, I said the very opposite thing of that 80 times. They were waiting for me to say it the way they wanted. And then they said, thank you very much, and misled everybody about what I was trying to say. I mean, it's these guys, you know, they taught conservatives not to trust them. You know, every conservative now says don't do an interview with these guys if it's going on tape because it's going to get completely mangled. So, I mean, I, you know, if it was up to me, I mean, it would be nice to do more of this. And I guess the hard part is, again, it is a comedy show, so it's harder to get everybody upset about it. But I, you know, he in, on some nights was just like Brian Williams, maybe worse.
What would have happened if this had been Sean Hannity or Glenn Beck that pulled the Brian Williams?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, this sort of concern about Glenn Beck used to tell these stories about the FEMA trailers. I mean, that I think ultimately built up to a point where the Fox News people felt they'd had enough. I mean, it took time. Obviously, yeah, I think that what you're asking, and I think you're correct, and that is if a Fox anchor made stuff up like Williams did, it would have caught on much faster because I think that there's no reluctance at CBS or ABC or NBC to a Fox News scandal. You know, I don't think they would say, gee, these are our friends. We should be really careful.
Right, and again, that shows you the double standards that we have. Tim, can you hang on for a minute?
Yeah.
All right, more coming up with Tim Graham of the Media Research Center, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, if you have a question.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436. Tim Graham joining us from the Media Research Center, and we've had the huge giant sucking sound with the Brian Williams story. Other issues, specifically MSNBC's treatment of Chris Kyle. You all at MRC.org have a story where over 60 military leaders demand that NBC apologize for the Chris Kyle comments by one of their reporters. For folks that really don't know the background, Tim, can you give us the details of the story?
Well, NBC News has hired this reporter named Ayman Moyaldeen from Al Jazeera, who worked at CNN also. And he has repeatedly gotten in these sorts of issues where he seems to want to take the Saddam Hussein side of things. This was particularly egregious, though, on Morning Joe, where he basically suggested that Chris Kyle was a racist who went on killing sprees. Well, that's not what snipers do. Snipers don't get up and shoot 26 people at once. You know, I mean, it was just such a, you know, an offensive description of, you know, the American military. You know, it's an indictment not just of Kyle, but of, you know, the people all around him in the Army. And this is where, you know, it's fine if you want to go to the Middle East and find people who can speak Arabic, you know, and get you a story. But, you know, you're going to have a problem if you're going to hire people who speak Arabic and think that the Al Jazeera is just the best news source in America. That's the kind of commentary you're going to get. You're going to get this anti-American crap. And it's offensive. And it's nice that we're able to sort of channel the beliefs of people that this kind of thing is exactly what people don't like about MSNBC, and it's exactly why they're having ratings problems.
Well, and again, when I heard the comments and we played those, who makes these decisions to have these goofs on?
Yeah, well, it starts with Joe Scarborough in this particular case. Not that Joe Scarborough, you know, tells his MSNBC bosses what to do. As long as his paycheck comes in, he'll do whatever MSNBC tells him.
Right.
You know, I don't think the guy has an ethical bone in his body. You know, he's just, hey, whatever you want, boss. So, I mean, it is a... It was really a depressing spectacle. And I think what makes me upset is there's this whole idea, it's the same thing that upsets me about public broadcasting, is these people get reputations. These are the cool-minded people. They don't say anything rash. They're the voice of civility because they don't yell. We don't have to yell to say ridiculous things. Now, Scarborough was pushing back on this, you know, killing sprees. I mean, I guess I should admit that. But, I mean, this is the kind of thing that are foisted on the American people, you know, when you hire reporters from Al Jazeera. I mean, you can't put these kind of people on.
Well, I'll tell you, Al Jazeera sends me an email every day trying to get their reporters on here, and we won't have it. I mean, it's just not in our mission statement.
Well, and I think the whole thing about this is, you know, there are people now working in Al Jazeera America who were reasonable journalists when they were at NBC or CBS or ABC, but they took the paycheck. The fact of the matter is, though, again, is, yeah, you can't be a liberal and be upset that, you know, make wacky claims like, well, Fox is being run by a foreign power because Rupert Murdoch was born in Australia or something, and then turn around and say, but I'm all fine with a media outlet run by the Emir of Qatar. You know, I mean, it's really sad that it's on this many cable outlets in America because they bought their way in through Current TV. Thank you, Al Gore.
Well, the other thing, though, that gets me is just the co-opting of the media by the Obama administration. You've got Axelrod pushing his book. Of course, he's paid by NBC News. As a political advisor, you have many of the former Obama people you know, that are, you know, tied to NBC.
Yeah, I think that it's, you know, one might say it's somewhat common to bring on people from old administrations to be your experts from time to time because they've been there. They've been in the White House. They've, you know, they've made these decisions. They've got their insights. But, yeah, now they seem to bring them in while the president they served is still there. And then they ask questions. This CBS interview with David Axelrod yesterday was just atrocious. You know, well, the president seems to have a spring in his step. What do you think about that? You know, I mean, that is not a question. That is a, you know, that's the putting the little wiffle ball on a tee and saying swing.
Well, my favorite thing is that apparently now, and they've got the documentation where the president lied about his views on same-sex marriage, and
exactly.
And that's not a big story. I mean,
well, again, this is the kind of thing that'll become a big story in the new media. And in part because, yeah, this is the kind of thing that these, you know, CBS and NBC, I mean, you know, at least NBC asked Axelrod about the controversy when he said, well, the president got mad that Mitt Romney brought race up in his, you know, when he was calling to congratulate the president on winning on election night. And the Romney staffers are like, that didn't happen. Well, NBC at least pushed Axelrod to respond to that. CBS didn't even go that far. Just really sad that they have somebody, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, here comes a former Obama person pushing a book. Let's have him on. Okay. But why don't you just ask him some real questions and not, gee, the president seems happy, don't you think? You know, that's not a question. Or this is the other trend that upsets me, and this happened on NBC, too, where they'll say, you wrote this in the book. Do you really believe that? Well, yeah. Why do you think you put it in the book? That's just a dumb question. It's not really even a question.
That and the idea of you have to look at these stories with critical thinking, and a lot of folks don't, Tim.
Well, and again, this is the important thing. You know, I'm not saying that if I had the chance to sit there at the table at CBS and ask David Axelrod a question, it wouldn't be, hey, you jerk, You know, shouldn't Obama be impeached? You know, that's not the question I would ask. You know, but what, again, it's what you think is the newsworthy question. And, yeah, you, here's the hard part. You might have to actually read the book to be able to ask about the book. Well, they don't do that. They work in television. I mean, that's one excuse they'd have for not pulling out this gay marriage piece. Well, we didn't, you know, the Axelrod's publicist didn't tell us that was in there. You know, that's the way they act. It's like, but, you know, again, there are certainly things that you could ask him about. And I would have started with, yes, the Romney camp says, you got this wrong. Your book is not reliable. That's, I think, where that interview should have started.
Tim Graham, MRC.org. Thanks again, brother.
Okay, you betcha.
All right, there we have it. Coming up next, one lawmaker, get this, one lawmaker out here actually wants to write a law that would outlaw provocative clothing worn by women in public and outlaw Speedos worn in public by men. Now, there, I guess you have the bi-gender smack, if you will, but we'll discuss that. If that doesn't make you smile, what will? Coming up next, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
When you look out of your hotel room window in the French Quarter and watch a man float by face down.
Two of our four helicopters were hit by ground fire, including the one I was in.
No kidding.
I said I was traveling in an aircraft that was hit by RPG fire. I was instead in a following aircraft. I want to apologize.
Giving Idaho a reason to get out of bed. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
6:39, Kevin Miller in the morning. Hello to my friend Rob, who's listening, I believe, on the Radio Pup app in Florida. We'll be talking to him next hour. Talk about the news business and, of course, the military. He's gone on, I was going to say deployed, but he's been embedded with the troops many, many times. And certainly a veteran of the news business. We'll talk a little bit more about Brian Williams. Coming up, the president lied about the gays, and the gays say they were in on it. We'll talk a little bit about that at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Also, the big brouhaha about whether or not we want the horse racing, slot machine, gambling machines at LeBlanc and any of the other, what is it, three racetracks in Idaho, something like that. Big brouhaha at the legislature. Everybody's mad, and, you know, we need to have these slots to keep LeBlanc open. And I'm thinking to myself, if you need the slots to keep the horse racing open, then who are we to believe when everybody says, hey, everybody's down there racing the horses? And LeBlanc's been here, it's been here, it's been gone. We had some out-of-state people come in and give us some money and brought it back. Then the in-state people bought it. But is it really up to the state of Idaho to legalize gambling? You got the tribe up there in Coeur d'Alene. They're upset. Why? Because if you want to gamble, you got to go to the reservation, right? Or Jackpot or that place in Oregon or Reno or Vegas or what have you. And a lot of people have said, you know, you take a look at our brothers and sisters east of the Great River, that gambling's a good thing. Hey, you can go, and it's a voluntary tax, and you can, you know, win money at the slots. And, you know, how long before Idaho becomes the new gambling mecca of the West? You take a look at Reno, how Reno has been hit because of, what is it, slots now in California or gambling in California. So we'll get to that. But here's a kind of a story, and I've got this at the Kevin Miller Show Facebook page. Actually, it won't be posted for a while, so you can hear it here first. Boy, that's an original phrase. You got this lawmaker in Montana. Now, Montana, probably one of the more conservative states, because there's nobody there except conservatives and the big money libs that moved in from California. But get this. A Montana lawmaker is seeking to strengthen the state's indecent exposure law, stepping just short of his wish to outlaw yoga pants. Now, I will say this, and this is full disclosure, a full Brian Williams here. I have noticed that when I walk around the Fred Meyer or the Walmart or the Albertsons or the Winco, because I like to shop for the food, I've noticed a lot of yoga pants lately. In fact, I was with a young gentleman, well, not so young, but younger than yours truly, and I looked at him as I was having a green leaf tea, iced tea or whatever, and I said, Timmy, Bill, Frank, what is that? Why are these young ladies, perhaps they're native-born Idahoans, maybe they're from California, maybe they're from the East Coast, walking around wearing the yoga pants? Now, when you're in your 20s and you're single or what have you, you could say, oh, look at that hot blankety blank. But look, you have to know your limitations. When you're in your 40s or late 40s or late 30s for that matter, gentlemen, you got to just sit there and move on. Now, does that mean that everybody should wear a burqa? Well, I'm not going that far, but this is a serious news story today that's designed to hopefully put a smile on your face. If not, we got a lot of more depressing news coming up. Representative David Moore on Tuesday introduced House Bill 365 in the House Judiciary Committee in response to a group of naked bicyclists who rolled through Missoula in August. Now, if they're going to take Missoula, what's next? Nampa? Perhaps Caldwell? Notice? Fairfield? Could you imagine that? I could see the Portland crowd. Yeah, do we really want to see naked bicyclists running around the Treasure Valley? They wear their skin-tight stuff enough as it is. But naked bicyclists running around Montana. Apparently, the proposal would expand indecent exposure laws to prevent any garment that gives the appearance or simulates a person's buttocks, genitals, pelvic area, or female nipple. Now, this is a family-friendly show, so we will not refer to that word again. We'll just call it the N-word. I guess there's no problem with the male N-word. But apparently, it's the buttocks, we'll just say appendages, pelvic area, or a female blank. The Republican from Missoula, you'd never have a Democrat do this, would you? Says tight-fitting beige clothing could be considered indecent exposure under his proposal. Now, there's never any tight-fitting pasty clothing, is there? See, if you have skin pigment in this world, you're doing well. Those of us that are pigmentally challenged, not so much. He says he wouldn't have a problem with people being arrested for wearing provocative clothing, but that he'd trust law enforcement officials to use their discretion. Yeah, use your best judgment. I could like that. What are you in for? Well, I'm in here for robbery. I'm in here for assault. I'm in here because I wore yoga pants. Now, you have folks in Montana. Apparently, this representative says now he was misquoted by the Associated Press. He says a comment he made that yoga pants and men's Speedo-style swim briefs should be illegal in public were an off-the-cuff joke and not part of his bill. Well, rest assured. Now, this is where our progressive friends, all three of them that listen to this program, can have a little fun. Those people that say, oh, Kevin Miller, he's a Victorian age, blah, 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 blah. You and your Miller militia. I got to say this, that, you know, sometimes the clothing does go too far, does it not? Now, should we all be wearing baggy sweatshirts or hoodies like me? Well, I do that as a public service. I don't think anybody wants to see someone with my physique, that of a bell pepper, you know, having a tightly fitted shirt or spandex. Would you? Now, could we see this in Idaho? Should we see this in Idaho? Whatever happened to, you know, leaving something for the imagination? And I have to say, now again, let me apologize in advance to our vastly growing female audience. It's basically the young ladies. Of course, they're a lot more cosmetically appealing than the men, or the not-so-young ladies that are there. Where was I yesterday? And I think I saw, I was at the Fred Meyer, Chinden and Linder, or as I like to call it, Chindler. I was there, and I couldn't avoid the onslaught of the yoga pants. And really, what are yoga pants? It's, you know, an ode to spandex from back in the 80s. Try as I might to just, get my potato chips. You know, so maybe this guy has a point. 580-5436, 580-KID. I mean, if, you know, maybe we can't legislate morality, but we can legislate fashion. Brian in Meridian with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. Hey, I think you should come out with a new clothing line called the Bell Pepper Pants.
certainly a lot of stretchy things. Now, you're a hip guy, are you not?
Sure. I'll let you claim that.
You're kind of a fly guy, right?
In a bit,
yeah. So what do you make of this lawmaker who says, we're going to have a new law, and if you're wearing these things, we're going to stuff and cuff you?
Well, the problem is that beige is a subjective color, because I'm more of a sandy blonde color myself, and I think I probably would be arrested if I had it up there and was walking through with my
Would you ever wear any yoga pants in public?
In public? Well, if my workplace is considered public, then I have, because we have wellness facilities that you can do yoga and other things in actually the buildings themselves, right next to your break room and your conference room. So, but you have to change in the restroom. So yeah, you're walking through with those on. They keep you warm. Why I wear them? They keep me warm while I'm doing the exercises, because yoga in and of itself is not a highly physical element that you're sweating it out. So there is there's an actual or practical application of using them in that regard.
Well, now, when you're shopping, have you noticed that there, and we won't be gender specific, but there are people that are, just out of the yoga, and they're running around their yoga pants.
Yeah, and sadly, I even see it in the church right in front of me, and that's just wrong.
At church.
Oh, they'll wear a skirt of some kind that goes down about just below the buttocks area and call it good. And I'm like, that's just wrong.
Yeah, that's another thing. I think that, and who's a better expert on female fashion than men, that, if you're going to wear a skirt, it should go over the knees. I think that should be a state law.
Well, there is also the element of whether or not you go full back disclosure there too, as far as the dress in and of itself.
I agree. So what do you mean? Would you support this type of legislation here in Idaho?
I would not, because I think it's frivolous in one regard, but I think that it's not the state that should lead the culture, nor should it be those who are not inclined to know what is good and well for our society. That, to me, what I'm saying is the church has failed to lead the culture, and that is where we need to start.
Brian, God bless. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I'm sitting here watching Channel 5 Plus 1, and there's an anchor who's in her, and it's thankfully it's a female wearing a skirt. Now, who knows when that's going to have a male guy wearing a skirt? Her skirt doesn't cover the knees. Is that too much to ask? And by the way, I think that any naked bicyclist should self-report, especially in this weather. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Now, Bob, so what about it? Outlawing free samples. 651, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Coming up next, Rachel Maddow's mad. We'll tell you why. First, time for traffic now. Good morning, Dave.
Traffic now dealing with an accident eastbound on the freeway right at...
Exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580-KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
657 coming up next. We'll talk a little bit about the Ukraine, ethics in journalism, and the American sniper trial. Plus, are you down with some slot machines, horse racing machines, at the racetrack? The racetrack says, hey, we need to make this happen. Other people say it's just another incremental step into gambling in Idaho. And many people say, hey, what's wrong with that? We need the money. Plus, how much did pot pay off in Colorado? Apparently, $44 million. Imagine what we could do with that money here. Let's legalize pot. Let's legalize prostitution. Although we will outlaw indecent exposure or indecent wear. And I'm trying to think of the third one. Oh, yeah, and the gambling machines, right? By the way, Rachel Maddow is angry, and she's attacking her bosses. Now, I got to tell you, Rachel, from someone who has attacked his bosses, I think even here, that never works out for you. Now, maybe because you're a big-name star and such, that it will work out for you, right? Okay, well, maybe it will. However, for me, it never has. She attacks NBC News. We'll talk a little bit about that. Time for traffic now at 580KIDO. 659, 36 in Nampa. You know, I posted last night John Stewart giving up the Facebook, and many people, many God-loving, tax-paying, gun-toting conservatives that we love, cherish, and honor on this program, said good riddance. Good riddance to old Libby Lib Stewart. But he's been the voice of the millennials. What's next for him? What's next for The Daily Show? Why it really matters? Could there be anybody worse? How about a conservative there, Comedy Central? Now, that would be a stretch. But welcome to one.